seen all day, but tomorrow they'll be held to pay. Attentively, I mean about future calamity. I used to think the idea was obsolete until I heard the old man dampen his feet.
Hello. You have discovered the Felon File. FelonFile.com is a podcast exploration and discussion of law enforcement, history, issues, and incidents in the Appalachian Mountains and elsewhere. Felon File is hosted by Scott Lunsford, retired police detective, sergeant, author and researcher. The Shade of Blue stories for Felon File today, a new candidate for that special place in hell. Then another Shade of Blue story of the lady who almost got away with murder. Opening music. Hell. By the Squirrel Nut Zippers. Background music. Hard Boiled hosted by Purple Planet. The sponsor for today's episode of the Felon File is The Salty Heifer Home Store and More. For consignments, layaways, antiques and home decor. Located at 75 Roy Edwards Lane, Mars Hill, North Carolina. Contact Trish the owner at thesaltyheifer75@gmail.com. Scott, we're recording.
Thank you, Victoria, for starting us out and opening us up for Season 8 of Felon File, a podcast, as Victoria said, where we look at crime and punishment issues involving law enforcement, the criminal element, element that we think is criminal and sometimes is not, investigations, things along those lines that happen in the Appalachian Mountains and beyond and elsewhere. For today's Shade of Blue story, we're looking at two separate shades of blue involving two separate coaches. Coaches that taught and worked with young people in the North Carolina school districts. One individual, as Victoria says, has reserved that special place in hell. Once convicted, that is. This is actually the second arrest for one of our subjects today. A Hillsborough County, North Carolina football coach. Former teacher and coach is facing charges for two separate cases in which he had inappropriate physical contact with his students or his players. The most recent incident, a victim who was a student and football player at Bloomingdale High School, located in Hillsborough County, on April 6th of 2022, he reported to the Sheriff's Department that from 2017 through 2021, Coach Matthew Hike, at this time 33 years of age, who was his football coach, had molested him more than 50 times. The victim at the time was under the age of 18 when these incidents occurred. Hike had worked as a football coach for the high school, but was not actually employed as a teacher there. Detectives learned of the incidents through a previous investigation involving Hike where other victims were asked to come forward. In March of 2022, about a month before this last information came to light, administrators at the Livingstone Academy contacted the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office after the grandmother of one of the juvenile students reported her grandchild had been inappropriately touched by Hike, who was employed as a teacher at the academy. In their investigation, the detectives learned that Hike had presented and shown several pornographic images to the victim and touched him inappropriately on at least five occasions. He ended up being arrested on March 24th of 2022 and charged with five counts of lewd and lascivious molestation and three counts of sell or distribute obscene material to a minor, meaning the pornography. He bonded out of jail 2 days later, then was arrested again on April 6th for the most recent allegations. He's now facing additional charges, including 3 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation and 1 count of an authority figure soliciting or engaging in lewd conduct with a student. Children should be able to trust their teachers and coaches, reported the sheriff. Sheriff Chad Cronster. Individuals who break that trust and abuse their power must be rooted out and brought to justice. Our investigations revealed that this suspect broke that trust of his victims in our community on more than one occasion, and we will do everything in our power to make sure that he is held accountable for his despicable actions and can never target another juvenile. And again, as Victoria said, if he's guilty of the allegations, the gentleman waits for his special place in hell, that place reserved for child molesters and people who call you trying to sell you an extended warranty on your car. Our second shade of blue story for this evening also involves a high school coach, a baseball coach, as a matter of fact. Coach Russell Stager, S-T-A-G-E-R, he passed away while he was employed as a baseball coach and driver's education teacher at Durham High School. He was a very well-liked teacher, and students and staff were quite upset when he passed away. The coach had passed away suddenly when his wife accidentally shot him in bed while trying to remove a loaded pistol from underneath his pillow. His absence was still something that the students and faculty were trying to get their heads around. In the coach's office, a student was cleaning out a locker when he found a cassette tape. He put it into a tape player, and the voice was unmistakably the coach. And the words were very, very chilling. It was Coach Stager, and he was talking about how he feared for his life. 3 days before his death, Coach Stager had made this tape about his concerns just in case his worst fears came true. And unfortunately, they had. This occurred in February of 1988. Deputy Paul Hornbrake received a call from his dispatcher to respond to an accidental shooting. Not that unusual. They do happen. When he arrived at the house, he spoke to a very upset wife, Barbara Stager. She said she had accidentally shot him in the back of the head. She said that the coach had a habit of keeping a loaded 25 caliber pistol under his pillow because of the increase in crime in the neighborhood. Early that morning, she heard her son wake up and go to the bathroom. She became a little concerned that the coach was going to hear him wake up and shoot him before he realized it wasn't an intruder. So, the good wife reached under his pillow to get the pistol, and as she pulled it out, well, it kind of went off in her hand. Well, it didn't kind of, it did go off in her hand. The deputy took the report and spoke to the first responders who had arrived on the scene before he got there. They had been dispatched from the volunteer fire department in the area. Of course, they knew Russ and they knew his wife, Barbara. They all told the deputy that there were good Christian people, real pillars of the community type individuals, and they didn't see anything out of the ordinary other than it was a terrible, terrible accident. Now, Coach Stager was born and brought up in Durham County, North Carolina, where he graduated from the high school, married his high school sweetheart, Jo Lynn Snow. Well, unfortunately, as happens when you marry your high school sweetheart, their marriage didn't last long. They were able to part as friends, though. Russell went to work at his old high school as a baseball coach and the driver's education instructor, and his students really liked him and loved him. Coach Stager was a guy everyone liked to be around. Yet, it seemed to a lot of people that his life was kind of falling apart by the time he was about 40 years old. He had gotten remarried to a Barbara Ford, a widow with 2 young sons. Her first husband, it seems, had shot himself while cleaning his gun. that's odd. And she was raising the two boys on her own. Everything was pretty much great at first in the wedding or in the marriage, but it began to kind of fall apart later. Constant money problems from Barbara's excessive spending, little hints of infidelity in there, little hints and stories of infidelity that made their rounds and got back to the coach, kind of made him a little upset, which is understandable. Now, these were facts that most people didn't know about due to the fact that the coach and his new wife were very careful about how they presented themselves and whenever they were around friends and family and the church congregation. The shooting of Coach Stagger was initially ruled an accidental, just like Barbara had said it was. But then the sheriff's department received an unexpected letter from an unexpected source. Russ's ex-wife, Jo Lynn, sent a letter to the investigators telling them that she had been in contact with Russell for the past several months, and he had been confiding in her that Barbara was not the good Christian woman she had made herself out to be. He had told her that she had been kiting checks, in other words, cashing bad checks, and their family had been accumulating debt at a terrible rate. She had forged his signature on a lot of these bad checks and was always staying just one step ahead of the creditors, using Peter to pay Paul, more or less. She had an appetite for expensive things and always wanted the new cars and boats, and even bought them matching Rolex watches, which, as we all know, are not cheap. That wasn't all that her appetite made her go after. She also had an appetite for other men, and Russell had caught her at least once that she knew of in the act of adultery, and he was sure there had to be more. And strangely enough, he told his ex-wife, Jo Lynn, to look into the situation if anything ever happened to him, which is what it did. Investigators for the Sheriff's Department decided they'd take another look at the case, so a Sergeant Richard Buchanan took over the investigation, and with the information from Jo Lynn, he began to look into the Staggers' relationship a little closer, putting it under the microscope, so to speak. He found that not only was she right about the finances, the investigation also showed that Coach had been insured for a very large amount of money a little bit before he passed away, with Barbara as the sole beneficiary. All these things gave the sergeant a motive to work with. Now, Russ was also a member of the North Carolina National Guard, and he had quite a bit of weapons training. And it made no sense that a man who had that much experience with firearms would put a loaded gun with a round in the chamber under his pillow as he slept, because 25 caliber automatic pistols are notorious for not having a good safety to prevent them from misfiring. Most people that carry them either carry them without the magazine in the weapon, or at the very, very least, without a round chambered in the gun. Sergeant Buchanan decided to take a look or re-examine the forensic evidence. The bullet apparently had entered his head at a downward angle, and the test for the pistol showed that the shell casing would eject back and to the right every time. At the scene, the shell casing was found right behind Russ's body on the bed when it should have been at the foot of the bed where the pistol would have ejected it under normal circumstances. If the shooting had happened like Barbara said it did, the bullet should have entered into his head at an upward angle. Also, she claimed the weapon had a hair trigger, but testing showed that it took a substantial amount of force to discharge it. The trigger had to have been pulled intentionally. Sergeant Buchanan found out through his investigation and from Jo Lynn's information she provided, that Barbara's first husband, Larry Ford, who we mentioned earlier, had also passed away. He had been shot accidentally in the chest while cleaning his .25 caliber pistol. Ford's family had wanted an autopsy and an investigation to look into it, but Barbara, the wife, had insisted he be buried as soon as possible and the case was closed. Now, was this another accidental shooting? Ladies got bad luck with husbands and guns. It was all adding up against her, and Buchanan was ready to make an arrest, which he did. Barbara Stagger was arrested for the murder of Russ Stagger, much to the confusion and surprise of those who had known or thought they had known her. Apparently, they had no clue about the dark side of the coach's wife. Now, while she was awaiting trial with the evidence that Buchanan had compiled, the student was cleaning out the locker at the high school when he came across the tape. And of course, when he played it, like I said, the voice was unmistakably that of the coach. Coach was talking about his wife on the tape, describing how she had woken him up in the middle of the night, the last few nights, and tried to get him what she said was an aspirin to help him sleep. Now, wake me up from a sound sleep and tell me you're going to give me some medicine to make me sound sleep. That didn't make much sense to the coach either. He wondered out loud on the cassette recording why she would wake him up and tell him she was worried about his sleep. He was becoming afraid for his life and questioned the circumstance surrounding her first husband's death. Interestingly enough, the cassette tape was made just 3 days before he passed away or was murdered. The tape was a bombshell, no doubt, for the prosecution, and the defense kind of had a hard time to argue with it when the dead man actually testifies in the courtroom. The authorities used this audio tape along with some other evidence to secure the conviction of Barbara Stagger. And it is a rare occurrence in criminal law when a murder victim can testify on his own behalf. But it has happened. The coach's voice from beyond the grave talking about his concern for his life and his suspicions that his wife was going to basically nail him shut in the coffin. And that was the nail in the coffin for Barbara as well, and she ended up being convicted of murder. But later her sentence was reduced to life. She has been eligible for parole before, but each time has been declined, mostly to the credit of the first wife, Jo Lynn, who has remained loyal to her commitment to see justice done for her ex-husband, Russell, Coach Russell. She was an integral part of putting his killer away and has been constantly an opponent for any release of her ex-husband's murderer and attempt at freedom. According to the North Carolina Department of Corrections, Miss Barbara T. Stagger, born in 1948, 73 years of age, is still currently in prison, continuing her life sentence in prison. According to Department of Corrections, she has no projected release date. She has no incarceration term limit. She is in there for life. She has not attempted any type of escapes, but she has racked up a couple of infractions. 2017, she disobeyed a order from one of the Department of Corrections officers, and she was written up for that. In 1994, she attempted a Class C offense. I'm not exactly sure what that is, and I've left a couple of messages for a few friends of mine that work for the Department of Corrections, and they're not exactly sure what a Class C violation is. And remember, this was 1994 when those where that particular offense was filed. Also, in 1989, she received an infraction for disobeying an order. If you'd like to see an image of Barbara Stagger, you can go to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety or Department of Corrections website and click on the Offender Public Information Database. Enter her name, Barbara T. Stagger, and it will pull up a photograph of our 73-year-old murderess. Those are our Shade of Blue stories for today. Be sure to come back next Saturday for another Shade of Blue story on Felon File. If this is your first time to listening to our podcast on crime and punishment and true crime issues, be sure to go back and check us out for some of our prior stories. You might find them interesting as well. In the meantime, if the opportunity arises in life for you to do something to help somebody out, go ahead and do it. It's really the right thing to do. And if more people would help other people out, we would probably not have as many Shade of Blue stories to relate. At least, not new ones. Victoria, go ahead and close us out. We'll see you guys later. Check us out at felonfile.com and at scottlunsfordauthor.com. If you'd like to check out some of my books and other things we have available out there on the websites. We'll talk to you all later. Like I said, Victoria, close us out.
You have been listening to the Felon File podcast with your host, Scott Lunsford. For more information on this podcast or Scott's books and writings, go to scottlunsfordauthor.com and felonfile.com. Scott can also be contacted at these web pages. This is Victoria, your producer. Thank you for listening.
This is a place where eternally fire is applied to the body. Teeth are extruded and bones are ground and baked into cakes which are passed around.